At the beginning of Parsha Vayeshev, we find that Yosef HaTzadik interacts with his brothers specifically in regard to dreams. Let's take a look at the Chumash in Pasuk K in Perek Lamed Zayin. The Pasuk tells us, Yosef dreamt a dream, which he told to his brothers, and they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear, if you please, this dream which I dreamt. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the middle of the field, when, behold, my sheaf arose and remained standing. Then, behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Would you reign over us? Would you then dominate us?" And they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of his talk. He dreamt another dream and related to his brothers. And he said, "Look, I dreamt another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." And related to his father and to his brothers. His father scolded him and said to him, "What is your dream that you dream? Are we to come on your mother and your brothers to bow down to you to the ground?" So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, when we take a look at these dreams, there are obviously a lot of questions that have to be asked. Let's raise quite a number. We'll take a look, a little bit more of a textual study today, and see what we can glean for our lives. The Torah's Chesed, Rav Chanan points out in Source 3, V'tamua, madu kol kach kasu achim alav, sanu atov kinupa. What was it that really irked them so much? And further, he says, "B'derekal Adam kodem kol mekaneh b'shini v'achar kach soneuto, v'ilukan tchila sanuot Yosef rak l'achar mekem kanupo." So generally, you first have somebody who is jealous of somebody else, and then they hate him. Here, it repeats over and over again. They hated him, and then they were jealous of him. So why do we have that switch? What was it, the hatred that began with, that then turned into jealousy afterwards when it's not normally the normal order? The Sefer Aros, Rav Zedel Epstein, that sounds, Source 4, he says, "Ma'o tochen ha'chalomo l'fi machshavato." What was Yosef HaTzadik thinking when he had these dreams? "Ma dachaka Yosef l'saper l'chaven ha'chalomo." Another question we'll spend time on today, Mir Tashem. What possessed him to tell the dreams to his brother? Why indeed, three, did Hashem give him these dreams in the first place? And what was the purpose of all these dreams? So when we look at these dreams, we have to note, first of all, as the Megad Yosef quoting Rav Saretsky in Source 6, we know these dreams came to be bull. They came down to get bread. They bowed down to him. They came later. And at the end of the Sefer Bereishit, they bow down to him and say, "We're your slaves." We see that the dreams came to fruition. But obviously we have to ask ourselves, what is possessing Yosef HaTzadik to tell the brothers these dreams? What was the point that he would know these dreams even before they happened? If this was destined to happen, and Hashem wanted this to happen, like this is Nevuah, why is it necessary to tip everybody off that this was going to happen? It was obviously going to create hatred. There must be a deeper reason for these dreams. So let's begin with tzad, step by step. We know that there are different types of dreams that our rabbis teach us about. Source 4, Rav Munk quotes, "There are three general classes of dreams. The first comprises dreams brought up by a demon. That may mean by impure thoughts or imaginings and by unhealthy influences. The second involves dreams, which are simply the natural consequences of our psychological constitution." Right, what you think about during the day, you dream about at night. It is to these types of dreams that the prophet Zechariah refers, "The dreams speak falsely." Right, and most of these dreams are just shav. They're dreams that we all have, and they're not dreams that constitute any prophecy or any deep meanings. They're just a reflection of our thoughts of the day. The third category includes dreams of prophetic inspiration. The Torah is referring to this category when it says, "The name of Hashem, I make myself known to him in a vision." And clearly, as the Marsha notes here, Yosef's dreams belong to the third category, prophetic dreams. So that was, this very point out, one of the big differences of opinion between Yosef and the brothers, as we'll see, that the brothers believe that this is what he's thinking about during the day. He's thinking about lording over them, so he's dreaming about it at night. And Yosef HaTzadik is trying to tell them, no, 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 this isn't coming from me, this is coming from Hashem. And that's why the Sfarim point out, the word Vihine in Source 7 is repeated three times. Vihine, let me tell you, behold, this is coming from a much deeper place than just the musings of his mind. Now, the interesting thing about dreams, and we know this to be true, is that, and this is Source 7, that the dreams go after the mouth. Dreams depend on their interpretation, ha-chalamot hochim achar ha-peh. And that's why Rav Munk points out in Source 7, Rabbi Yehuda said, learn from this that one should not tell a dream to anyone except a good friend. Here Yosef told his dream to his brothers who hated him, and they interpreted it in a way that made them most violently opposed to it. As a result, they managed to postpone its realization for 22 years. But this is a very, very important idea, that when you have a dream, all right, albeit even a dream that's not prophetic, we know that it's imperative that the dream be interpreted in a good way. And the way we interpret a dream is going to create the reality of that dream. And what's the reason for that? So the Rav Munk brings down from the Zohar Kadosh, how is it possible the effects of a dream can be influenced in one way or another? So he quotes here the Ein Yaakov, who says that, according to Rashba, that the question of dream interpretation goes beyond reason and natural laws. We don't understand it. The Zohar knows that the interpretation can play a decisive role in significance of dream. It's because a dream represents only the 60th part of prophecy, hints that it's the lowest level of divine revelation, and as such can produce a mixture of celestial revelations, together with the products of the imagination. It's upon the latter that the speech of man, whose creative power has been demonstrated, is going to determine the influence of what the dream is about. And we know that, furthermore, speech serves to concretize and to give form to the abstract thought which constitutes the dream. And it gives it a very definitive manner. So when you dream, it's very abstract. And when you bring it down to the word, to the actually articulating what the dream means, it brings it from that level of abstract into the level of reality. And one's words actually create reality. And that's what we have to understand, why it's so important that you go to a friend or somebody who's going to interpret it for the positive, because that is going to, and there are many examples the Gemara Brachos gives of people who had dreams, one interpreted positively, one negatively, and it could be almost a similar dream, and one had a positive outcome and one had a negative outcome. Just to take this a little bit further, the Tal Lechaim, written by the Chalban, who was just Nifter a few months ago, notes that the whole idea of a Chalom, and we'll see this at the end as well, that Hashem enables a person, Latzitz Pnina El Nefet, to give you like a bird's eye view inside of a person, this is the Inyan Shel Avodat Nefesh Amukah V'Tavyat Magamat Chayim, that we have an understanding of what we're able to accomplish in life. And it really is about influencing a person to move forward, to impact their decisions and how they're going to act. And he says one has to understand that Shelapeh Yesh Koach Hashpa'a Gadol Ma'od B'Tzoa Koach HaDiburit. There's a certain aspect of power of the mouth that we know that creates reality. That's why we know a person has to be careful. Be careful that you don't open your mouth and say something, even in a kidding way, that can be interpreted in a negative way, because you're creating an opening, lo aleinu, for the negative forces. And he says the peh, and this is in Source 10, shukoach ha-shelton shel ha-dibur, it affects our mouth. And this is why he says, and my friends, this is important, not just in dreams, this is important in life, Shadam sarich l'daber diburim tovim u'tarkein kol davar l'tova. A person should habituate themselves to always say good things, to think good things, to translate everything in life for the good, because as we know, in the Sifrei Chassidus it said, in the asterisk in 10, Shadam nimsa heichan shemachshavoto nimsay. A person is found where their thoughts are. When you think good thoughts, you're found in a good place. When you articulate good thoughts, then those good thoughts actually transpire into good things. v'ludemayen dimyonot l'tova, u'medaber ach v'rach diburim tovim, she'et tov davar, hu poel b'zor al nafsho l'tova. You have to understand that the way we think has such a dramatic influence on who we are and what happens to us. So if one thing that we can gain from this, aside from the idea that we know that anytime you have a dream or someone comes over to you and says, you know, I had a dream last night, it really troubles me, your immediate response should be, it's a good dream, it's a good dream, you don't have to worry, it's all good. And we know this, right? It's like, I'll just talk about how death in a dream, which seems to us to be something so sad, is really a sign of rebirth. And that this is not a negative sign, it's a sign of change, it's a sign of renewal and revitalization. So this is our job, to be able to take any dream that we have, any dream told to us, be able to articulate it for the good, as well as, my friends, and this is the first take-home message for today, be very clear about it in case you're looking for take-home messages, look and translate life for the good, that whatever happens, be able to say, wow, this was so good. Wow, this is so amazing. I just had that this week. Somebody who we need for a certain appointment is going to be out of town the week we need her. I say, wow, that's amazing. She says, that's amazing. I said, yeah, everything is for the good. If it's meant to be that you're going to be away that week, that's for the good. She said, I wish all my customers felt that way. Right? You deal. There's a reason why she has to be away. It's all for the good. Right? When you say everything's for the good, it'll become good. If you say everything's going to be for the bad, then you're creating that negative vibes in this world as well. So now, my friends, we just furthered our original question, and now we're going to be getting Yirat Hashem to try to understand it. If it is such an imperative to be able to translate the dreams for the good, so the last place Yosef HaTzadik should go are his brothers. His brothers hate him. The Chumash tells us already at the beginning that once Yaakov Avinu gave him these coats, that they already hated him. They could not speak to him peaceably. The brothers hated him. So if the brothers already hate him, right, it's not that they hated him after he told them the dream. They already hated him from moment go, once Yaakov Avinu was treating him in a certain way. So if that's the case, so it should be the last place he should go is to tell him the dreams. So my friends, as we're going to learn this, the sources are completely out of order. So really work with me. It has been a long week. And we were lucky we even have a shear to work with this week. So, Hodul Hashem, so work with me. We start with the Ksef Sofer. The Ksef Sofer points out, this is source 25, really out of order, work with me. Lo nitba'er eza chalom siper. The Pasuk first tells us, v'chalom Yosef chalom v'yegeid lachav. Yosef had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and then only later we have, in the next Pasuk, we then have, hear if you please this dream which I dreamt. So, according to the Ksef Sofer, Mashmash Shizaya Chalom Acher, that he had a dream different than the dream of the Alumos, of the standing sheaves. Which Nirali says, Ksef Sofer, Kaya Ragil Yosef Chalomot. Yosef had a lot of dreams. The Sipero Tam Tamilachav, and he was constantly telling his brothers his dreams. The Derech Avim Shiva Supreme Chalomot Ham Zelze, it's like people love each other, tell them their dreams. He's telling his brother's dreams like you would tell your siblings. And they hated me even more for that because he acted as if they're best friends and they really don't really love him. And then in this case, he says, I want you to listen. I know you've been always rolling your eyes. I have another dream. No. Shimuna chalomazet daika. I need you to listen to this particular dream because there's something here of real importance. So again, what is it that drove Yaakov of Yosef HaTzadik to continuously tell his dreams to his brother? What was it about this dream that he felt there was an imperative? Shimuna chalomazet. No. This one, you have to listen to. What was it about this dream of the Alumos, of the sheaves, that Yosef HaTzadik felt he must tell to his brothers? And what was it about this dream in general that he's telling his brothers if everything goes after the interpretation? So as we've learned many times, we can divide everything in life into three categories. This is the Maharal, Ben Adam La'atzma, between man and self, Ben Adam L'chaveiro, between man and fellow man, and Ben Adam La'ashem, between man and God. And I think we can find in each of these areas two reasons why Yosef HaTzadik is sharing this dream. Let's start Ben Adam La'atzmo, why it is, why he feels he needs to share this dream. We'll begin in source number 12. In source number 12 we have the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, it's to the bottom of the second page, he says, צריך לדעת למה היה יוסף מגדיל סינה במה שהיה מספר חלומות גדותו מגידות? Why is he telling him when he already knows they hate him? ומה גם אחר ידעו כי הוא סנוי בעיניהם, כאמרם זל, בפסוק ויאמר לו הנני שמסר עצמו למיתה, knowing that they hated him, he was ready to go and see how the brothers were. ואולי, in the bracket, כי נתכוון להודיע אותם כי מן השמיים העלוהו למעלה, ומעשה יעקב היא בהסכמת עליונים, ומזה יחדלו משנוא אותו. He's doing this for his own good. He's doing this so that his brothers would stop hating him. He's telling them his dream and saying, see, I'm having a dream from heaven to say that I am worthy of this position. It's not something I'm just concocting in my own mind. I want you to listen to this because when you hear this, you'll stop hating me. Or, oh, Yechaveh in the Dat, Lekarev HaLovavot Yachad. He wants them to be able to come closer to him, ki hashvatim yakufu rosham l'zayrat elyon l'masaveha. The Yosef chashav in the asterisks, shebesipro chalomotav lahem yadunu ba'atzman ki libo shalemi mehem ki mishpat ha'achim ha'uvim. The second reason, the first is, he'll say, it's coming from God, it's not coming from me. And two, the second reason why he's telling the dream, is he's basically saying to them, you know, I love you, I have nothing against you, and I'll show you I love you, is because I'm telling you the dreams, and you only tell people who you love dreams. So clearly you see that there is no feelings of animosity on my part. We're really one big happy family, literally. So Yosef HaTzadik, from his own mindset, why is he telling the dream? One, to show there's nothing against me personally. I don't feel something against me. It's coming from God. And two is, you see that if I'm showing you this love, I'd like you to reciprocate with this love. There's nothing in me that's showing hatred. He's trying to, lekarev levavot, he's trying to bring them closer by the fact that he trusts them. He's trying to show them, I have no animosity. Let's just try to have love between us. That was the mindset of Yosef HaTzadik. What was the reason he told them, oust the brothers? So here again, in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's oyechavein lo diyam in the arrow, that they would understand, yisarchu elav yavov yishtachavu lo, that they would understand, that they're going to need Yosef HaTzadik at one time. Uvula ki biyodam ken yarchiku asinah levalyim kol mehem leik yiplum lufanav, ki hashvatim yakufu rosham lezeret elayon lumatzaveha. He's trying to say to them, you know, to his brothers, I have to tell you this dream because one day you're going to need me. This is what the dream is saying. You're going to bow down to my sheaves. You're going to need me one day. And if you understand that this is coming as a gzeiras elyon, as a decree from heaven, then you'll understand that it's better to be nice to me because this is something that Hashem wants, as we just spoke about. And in the future, you're going to need me. So therefore, I think it's wise that you are nice to me, that we have nice relationships with me. And the second reason for the brothers is the Ben Melech in source number 15. We know that Amadli Mechasa Nevuah Sherolu Min Shemayim Chaya Mita Bidei Shemayim. Someone shows you, you have a Nevuah from heaven, you can't conquer this Nevuah, you can't keep it to yourself. And who do you need to share it with? V'nira Shechuvada Navi Saper V'lo Lichvosh Nevuah Toa, the squiggly 15th, notes from Mintzberg and Ben Melech. Hanu Davka Leil Shem Nevuah Mit Yachesed Alehem. אבל אינו חייב לא תהיה לעזור לכולם. על כן את החלום הראשון הגיע יוסף רק לאחיו, שהחלום מתייחס אליהם ולא לאביו. למה החלום השני אשר ראה בו את השמש ואת הירח כבר היה מחויב לספר גם לאביו? Why did he tell his brothers even though his brothers hated him? Because it related to his brothers. When a person has a nevuah about somebody else, you need to tell that somebody else a nevuah if it's pertinent to them. So because it's nevuah related to the brothers, the first Nevuah was only about the sheaves bowing down and not about Yaakov Avinu. Hence, he doesn't share with Yaakov Avinu. The second dream, which has already the celestial bodies of the sun and the moon, which referred to Yaakov Avinu, at that point he tells Yaakov. So the question is, why did he tell the brothers? The answer is, he needed to tell the brothers. Why? Because this was who it was relating to. It was relating to the brother's life. And that's what a nevuah is about. And Yosef HaTzadik was very careful. He only told his father when it related to his father. If it didn't relate to his father, then he just told his brothers. So again, what is Yosef HaTzadik's mindset? So again, for himself, he's telling them that they shouldn't hate him and should try to create brotherly love. For the brothers, he's telling them that you have to see this is coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not something I'm, you know, thinking about during the day. And two, recognize this is a nevuah, and I'm chayav. I have to be able to tell this nevuah to you. I have no other choice. This is what I'm supposed to do. And indeed, the Yosnaim LaTorah in Source 16 points out the following. He says, "Efshar lomar sheyadu sheyesh chalom ayidei malach v'chalom ayidei shein." And this will get us to the third reason, and this is ben adam l'makom, between man and God. We know that sometimes you have a dream through an intermediary, like an angel, sometimes through a shein, which means just your thoughts and imagination, shein bo mamash. Ve'el shar lehavdil ben chalom l'chalom. Well, how am I supposed to know if it's a real dream or not? So the Sfarim speak about if it's a dream at the beginning of the night, it's a dream of your thoughts of the day, it's at the end of the night, it's a much deeper dream, it's coming from a much deeper place. They make these distinctions. The Yosnaim LaTorah says the following. V'itvonanti b'mikra b'divrei chazal matzati, through looking at the Chumash and through our rabbis, I found shachalom habayidei shade eino olse roshem gadol alechulam. If it's just a dream of imagination, when you wake up, it's not going to impact you too much. You may have a vague recollection, oh, you know, I dreamt a dream, but like, you're not going to pay too much attention to it. But if it's a dream that's a real dream, a dream which is the 60th of prophecy, then it makes a strong impression on you. You try to tell everybody, because you're trying to find a solution, and your heart is beating within you. Like, even if you don't realize it, your neshama realizes you were told something very deep, and you're, the English word I would use is disquieted by your dream. And that's why you see Vatipa'im Rucho by Paro. He's very troubled. The Saramashkim and Saraofim at the end of our parsha, right? Yosef HaTzadik says to them, why do you don't look so good today? The dream was really bothering them. It was on their face. You could see it. So that's why, my friends, a dream like this, the gam chalmotav shel Yosef asu alav roshem kavir v'siperotam v'chazar v'siperotam laviv v'lachav av sheyatav shem sonim oto. Yosef HaTzadik, this was his dream. It perturbed him so much. It was such a deep dream. He had to share it. Aval lo yachol litapek. He couldn't hold it in. Ki ayad dvar Hashem bo ke'esh atzurah. Anytime a Navi got nevuah, anytime a prophet got prophecy, it was burning in them like a fire that they had to be able to share it. That was the dream of Yosef HaTzadik. Even though he knew his brothers hated him, he had no alternative. This was something that was just overtaking him that he had to share with everybody. And that is why they not only did they hate him for his dreams, they hated him for his words. Also, Marbeli Dragashl the Bero Dor Chalmotav Volotepahem is Romli Bosimanim Kilohim Amitim. That's why the Chumash says they hated him for his dreams and for his words. What words? The words of constantly telling him, I gotta tell you this dream, it really bothers me. You gotta listen. I need you to listen. This is like unbelievable. It so overtook him that he had no option but to tell this, because again, it was burning inside of him and he needed to have some type of interpretation. He needed to have some outlet. It was clearly the word of God. So again, Yosef HaTzadik is saying it for himself so that they should see it's coming from above to cry and create love. He's telling it to the brothers because they should understand it's relating to them. It's coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that this, when you have a dream or a nevuah about somebody, that's your obligation to tell them. Yosef HaTzadik had no choice but to tell them. In relation to Hashem, if you have a nevuah, this is your obligation. It's like a fire burning in you. You have to relate it. The final idea of why Yosef HaTzadik told the brothers a dream is going back to Source 13 in the Ksav Sofer. He says something very fascinating. He says, Shimu na chalom hazeh, listen to this dream that I have to tell you. And the pasuk says, "Vayechalom Yosef chalom vayeged lachav v'hadarkti v'yomer lem shimunah chalom aseh v'amarti ki mishamayim haya shisepru chalomotav lachiv kedei shiyosifu sunah v'ze haya tzarich lipitron hachalom sheidei asina makru alto v'nitkayim hachalom v'lachin chalam Yosef v'toch hachalom shitziper chalomo la'achiv u'mahay tama sipru lahem." So here, the Ksav Sofer learns our psukim totally different. Let's look back at source number one and let's take a look. Joseph dreamt a dream, which he told to his brothers, and they hated him even more. My friends, that's part of the dream. In his dream, he told his brothers, and they hated him. And that's why he says to them, "Hear, if you please, this dream which I dreamt." Why is he sharing it with them? Because part of his dream was they had to tell them, the brothers. And part of his dream was that they were going to hate him. And this is all part of the dream because Yosef HaTzadik had to know that this is part of the divine plan. And Hashem wanted him to be hated. Because if he was going to be hated, then they were going to sell him. And if they were going to sell him, he'd come down to Mitzrayim. And if he'd come down to Mitzrayim, then, the brothers would come down to Mitzrayim and the Gullus would begin. So why did he tell them the dreams if he didn't want to tell them the dreams? Kimina Shamayim Hiru Shisaper Tov Lachav. In his dream, he's telling them, the brothers. And if that's the dream, then he needs to be able to follow through with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, which is to tell the dream. So my friends, why does he tell the brothers if he knows they're going to hate him on this last idea of the Ksav Sofer? He has no option. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him. We'll just end with one final idea on this level, which is absolutely fascinating, and that's the source 17, and then we'll be back in order, my friends, where it's Hashem and the Ben Melech, where he says, again, the Chumash says, Joseph dreamt a dream which he told to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And then he said to them, "Hear, if you please, the dream which I dreamt." Again, and that's what we're struggling with. It seems like, and that's the first idea we saw, that he had really two dreams. He had more than one dream. Right? Please listen to this dream. So says the Ben Melech, listen closely. He says that Yosef HaTzadik had a dream, and he said to his brothers, because everything goes after the interpretation, I want to tell you something, he says to a brother. He says, "Vayged la'achav," he told his brothers, "I had a dream which meant that I was going to rule over you." And they hated him. And then he said to them, "Now I want to tell you what the exact dream was." Gilan, the arrow, lahem barishana shechalam chalom horem lucha atidalo. First, he said to his brothers, "I had a dream which says I'm going to rule over you." The brothers didn't know the content of the dream. They couldn't interpret it another way. And that is why when Yosef HaTzadik is very smart, he says to his brothers, "I had a dream. Let me tell you the meaning of the dream. The meaning of the dream is I'm going to rule over you. Okay, now let me tell you the dream itself." So now the brothers have no option but to follow along with the interpretation of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's why they say, "Hamalotim lochaleinu, hamasholtim shobanu, are you going to rule over us?" They're questioning his interpretation, which is what we saw, you know, pushes us off for many years. But they're not negating it. They're just questioning it because he put into their head that this is going to be the interpretation of the dream, and therefore they're just, in a certain respect, just reiterating what he told them. So Yosef HaTzadik, according to this, knowing that the brothers weren't going to be happy with the dream, he first tells them the interpretation, making sure that the interpretation is going to be the way he wants it to be. Okay, they may question it, but they're just reiterating in a question format that which he wants them to focus in on, that indeed, he will rule over them, and he will be a king over them. With this, we can now begin to try to understand, well, what were the dreams all about? What is the idea of sheaves coming down, bowing down? That's what I really want to focus in on. Not so much the second dream, the first dream. What's the idea of the sheaves bowing down to Yosef HaTzadik? The idea of it circling him and bowing down to him? And that deeper question of why with these, this dream, they had the sinna, they had the hatred, and then the second dream of the sun and the stars, etc., they had the kinna. And a deeper question that we need to ask ourselves, and this is really an overall question, is how could the brothers, the Shifteka, these are the people who were the greatest individuals known, like we don't understand how great they were, how could they have hatred? How could they have jealousy? How do we understand that? We're not talking about simple people here, right? When they decided to throw Yosef in the pit, they had a basting. They included Kadosh Baruch Hu in this chayrit. Like, this isn't just simple people. These are great, great people. How do we understand their sinna? How do we understand their kinna? Just like when the Chumash tells us that Rachel Imenu was jealous of Leah Imenu. Rashi says she was jealous of her good deeds. These raw feelings are not appropriate for the Shifteka. So my friends, let's take a look at four different approaches of the difference between Sinna and Kinna and what this idea of the Alumot are about. Again, more of a text study today. It's good to change gears every once in a while, and then we'll end a little bit more philosophy. Rav Pinkus, Source 19. Yesh l'tatek shebachalon harishon ra Yosef shalom orachim ishtachavot l'umot shel Yosef. In the first dream, it is the sheaves bowing down to another sheaf. And the second dream, the sun and the star and the moon are bowing down to Yosef himself. And he says, that's really what happened. When the Hine and the asterisks in 19, the second asterisk, Kishabau and Lavachim Beli Yaakov Lo Yodamihu, they didn't know who he was. And therefore, when they bow down to him, they're really bowing down, as it says in Source 20, Loto Melech HaMechalek Ochel L'Kulam, Elev HaMishachavu. Who are they really bowing down to? They're not bowing down to Yosef. Again, the first dream is the sheaves standing in a circle, bowing down to a sheaf. So we know, because we know the interpretation of the dream, that the sheaf in the middle is Yosef. That's not it. But technically, it's sheaves bowing down to sheaf. And that is why, when they bow down to Yosef, they're really bowing down to the chief, which sounds like a sheaf. They're bowing down to the one who is providing food for them. So it's really not to Yosef himself that they're bowing, it's to what he represents, which was the king. It really could have been anybody. It didn't have to be Yosef. It was the one providing food. And that's what the sheaf is about. It's about the wheat, it's about the lechem, and that's why in the squiggly, when they came to get food, they didn't need Yosef. He was just a hechitimse, a medium, in order to get the food that they needed. And that's why in the first imagery, Yosef Atzadik looks like a bundle of wheat. He doesn't look like himself. And this, from Dov Yafet Zatzal, in Av Decha Be'emes, in Source 22, brings up down the Beis Halevi. And he says, the two dreams really not only are drastically different in terms of the first dream, they're bowing down to Yosef, to the model of what Yosef represents, to the grain, but not to Yosef. And in the second dream, they're bowing down mamish to Yosef himself, which is what happens, as we mentioned later, that they bow down to Yosef knowing that it's Yosef. In the first case, they didn't know it was him. They're just bowing down to the person providing food. In the second case, they were bowing down to their brother Yosef. Aside from that distinction, he says, there's a second distinction, notes the Beis Halevi in the asterisk in 22, that the first dream, Inyanan shel chalom halamot hu she Yosef yeh gadol me'achav ba'osher ba'atzlachar olam hazeh, that Yosef HaTzadik was going to be great in terms of wealth, in terms of possessions in this world, and that the brothers are going to need him. The second dream is that Yosef is going to be great in terms of ruchnius, in terms of spirituality. And that is why when you start dealing with sun and the moon and the stars, you're dealing with the celestial being. There you're dealing with the tzaddik yesod olam, that he is the tzaddik, the foundation of the world. And that is why v'nei osher v'atzlochos b'nyanei olam hazeh einam osifot ma'ilah be'etzem adam. If a person has money, if a person has kavod, it doesn't change the essential part of a person. Whether a person wears an expensive suit or a shabby suit, the person is really the same person. Yeah, I know we define people differently based on how they look, but intrinsically there absolutely is no difference. It doesn't matter what car you drive, as long as it gets you to where you need to go. However, in the second dream, There is a spiritual difference. There is a greatness in terms of who he is. And the Nasebats Wuto Bechina Cherem Zulato, there, intrinsically, essentially, he has become higher than that. That's why Notzu Beis HaLevi, the first dream, there's just sinna. The first dream, there's just hatred toward him. But there is no kinna, because kinna, to have this, this hatred of that you think we're to be needing you, but there's no kinna, there's no jealousy. When is there jealousy? This is kinna sofrim tarbe chochma. This is a positive type of kinna. When they see that his brother is going to be greater than spiritually, they're not jealous that he's going to be richer than them. Who cares? It makes no difference. You're going to be greater than us spiritually? Oh, it's a whole different thing. And again, the kinna that's coming here, he says, it's the kinna that is a kinna of jealousy that was, we know, kinna suffering tarbe chochma, that you're jealous of somebody who grows spiritually. That's an impetus for you to grow spiritually. So it's not a jealousy the way we understand jealousy. It was a jealousy of that he was going to reach a position that they too wanted to reach. And he brings down of Dov Yafa the story in 23, it's a very famous story. Masa Shaya Bishasha Shacha Ba'ala L'sha Rosh HaYeshiva HaGor Aryeh Leib Shtayman Zatzal now, that she was worried about buying a new car, that her friends would be jealous of her. So Rosh Yeshiva asked, do you know Shas? He said, no. Do you know any parts of Shas really well? He said, no. So Rav Shtayman said to him, so then why is there any reason to be jealous of you? You don't know Shas. There's no reason to be jealous. I'd go buy the car. There's no jealousy in terms of the physical world. Where is there room for jealousy? Only in the world of the spirit. That, my friends, is the first distinction. The first way of understanding the dream is that it's a physical dream versus a spiritual dream. And they're only jealous, the spiritual type of jealousy, of kin of suffering. Second approach, Refire, Hegyonah Shel Torah, source 26. He says, if you take a look at the dreams, they seem to contradict each other, one with each other, in the same dream. Why? Hainu, alumot shesalvot alumacha, lo mitochachna, ela adraba, kdei lilachem balumasu. The pasuk, the way it uses is, vatusubena, they surrounded. That word, vayasobu alav lilachem, is often used to surround a person in war. So you could easily say that all of these wheat, that bundles of wheat surrounding the middle wheat, is surrounding the middle wheat to attack it. And in that case, you know what? There's more of the bundles of wheat than the wheat itself. And in that way, they have the ability to fight back. Or you can understand it that they're bowing down to him in terms of he is going to rule over them. And that is why they say to him, Hamaloch tim lochalenu mashol tim shobanu, anachdun simcha melech o atat tim shobanu chazaka. What do you think, that we're to bow down to you and make you king, or you're going to try to overcome us and overtake us in terms of war, and that way Moshel is, by force, you're going to rule over us? They're saying to him is, we don't know what this dream is really about. Maybe it's about sibling rivalry. Maybe it's about that we are going to surround you and we're going to overtake you. That's what the meaning of the dream is. And the bowing has nothing to do with bowing down to you. The bowing has to do with planning to attack you. How do you know what the dream means? So that dream just created within them sinna, but it didn't create with them kinna, jealousy. The moment then he has a second dream, which is that you're going to bow down to me, and the meaning of the dream is not as you might have thought, that you will overcome me, but no, the meaning is bowing down to me. At that point, there's room for kinna, there's room for jealousy, albeit on this level, not to explain the sinna and the kinna of the shvatim, just that there was no room for kinna, for jealousy, the first round, because they weren't sure of the interpretation of the dream. It could be that they were going to overtake him. Only when there's a second dream, which just defined what the first dream was about, then they understood that now there's room for jealousy. Idea number three, Rav Matlin Sivos Chaim. So he says, L'chein l'fi anirus daiti in the asterisk, shekol anagot ha'achim klapa Yosef lo hayta shum negiya atzmit v'chas v'shalom, v'shekol kinatam v'kayavtan hayta ach v'rak l'shem shamayim. All of their hatred and all of their kinah was l'shem shamayim, that they thought that Yosef HaTzadik was doing things that went against for its own Hashem. And there's a mitzvah to hate those who are Rishayim, those who are going against the word of Hashem. So here you have almost like a spiritual hatred, a spiritual kinah for the word of God. It had nothing to do with their own being, nothing to do with their own status. It has to do with Ritzon Hashem. How do you see this? So the way he explains it is the following. He says, when Avraham Avinu is told in the Bris Ben Bsurim that they were going to be slaves in a land not theirs, so Yadot Edaki Yeri Ezercha Be'eretz Olahem, and we know that part of that time was in Eretz Yisrael, wasn't always in Mitzrayim. So the brothers understood that while they were living in Eretz Yisrael, they were living there as Gerim, they were living there as sojourners, and this wasn't yet their land. And therefore, in the bracket 28, Demashma Shaloti Adamashalahem, Share Gerim, Yu Achiashuv Larz Israel, Reitzi Tamitraim. They were only sojourners there until they came back from the land of Egypt, then they'd be able to live there. So therefore, the brothers said, Yosef HaTzadik, if you were having dreams that the sheep were bowing down to other sheep, okay, so I understand you're thinking along the lines of sheep, which is temporary. But once you now start thinking about the sheaves, you're talking about planting in the land, which means in your mind, you are Balabas. You are no longer a sojourner in this land. You are the master of this land. At that moment, what you're trying to do is undo Ritzon Hashem. The will of God is that we should imagine ourselves as we are living in the land that doesn't belong to us. And therefore, by the fact that this is what's going on in your mind, that you're thinking about sheaves, it's clearly, again, not knowing that this is coming from God, thinking that this is something that he's dreaming up literally in his own mind. This is something that's going against Ritzon Hashem. And therefore, they have the ability to hate him on this. And again, the hatred is not for him. Kevan shu cholem on the dad in 28, alavadad karka shu kavua v'lo Ritzon, L'chein sanu oto al zeh gam kein b'tor halo mesanecha, as one who's hating those who hate Hashem. 29. However, after he told the second dream, which is about that Yaakov Avinu is going to bow down to him, then vayikanu bo echav, this was like the kinat in source 29, Pinchas l'kvod Hashem. The brothers were jealous, zealous of the honor of their father. So, the first dream, they're just, it's a hatred. It's almost like for God's honor, right? How they're hating those who hate God. God told you you're not allowed to have the land yet. What right do you have to dream about the land? Then, when Yaakov Avinu is about to, the dream that Yaakov Avinu is going to bow down to him, wow, now we have a kinah of zealousy for the honor of our father. How can we step back and allow you to dream that our father is going to bow down to you? Hence the sinah first, the hatred, and then the kinah. One final idea in the text study, and that's why we don't do text study too often, because it is complicated. However, it's important to see the depth that we can't just look at it on a superficial level. There's so much going on here. This last idea of the difference between sinah and kinah and what the dream really mean, in my mind, this one really, I related to it the most. I found it to be a chiddush gadol, a tremendous insight I'd never seen before, and I found it very, very profound and powerful. Let's learn this, and then let's step back and try to understand Yosef the dreamer on a much more broader level and its impact for our lives. Says the Sefer Aros from Zedel Epstein, Zetzal, the following. When Yosef HaTzadik receives this coat from Yaakov Avinu, so it's really the coat, no or, says the Shlach HaKadosh. It's really the original coat. And that's what the Sfarim say. This was the ketonet. This was the jacket that Yaakov Avinu got from Bigdei Esav HaChamudos, which Esav took from Nimrod, and Nimrod took from Noach, and Noach got from other Rishos, the original coat, which could be read as Kot Noor with an Ayin, or Kot Noor with an Aleph. And for Yosef HaTzadik, that jacket really turned into the spiritual jacket. It was this level of everything that Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef HaTzadik that he imbibed. And this is what created this feeling of animosity among the brothers, that he was being taught more than they were being taught. Again, like the Kinah Sofer. And then Yosef HaTzadik has these dreams. And he says, in the asterisk in 31, Toelet HaChalomot hi hoda'a liYosef tafkido b'chayim latid v'sheyachin atzmo l'zeh. One of our original questions, which we really haven't answered till now, is why is Kodesh Baruch Hu showing Yosef HaTzadik the dreams? We touched on this answer. He wanted them to hate him in order that that would facilitate the sale, like Hashem was trying to up the notches, right? And indeed, when Yosef HaTzadik comes, they say, Hinei Balach HaLamod HaLazeba, look at the dreamer, he's coming. You could see that the dreams really bothered them, and that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu's plan was, like almost to push them over the edge. It wasn't enough, the Ketonet Pasi, to be jealous of that. The dreams were really the final straw that they hated their brother, and again, part of Hashem's picture, and that's why Hashem gave him the dreams. We did answer it in that way. He says a different answer. He says, Hashem gives you a dream in order to prepare you for what's coming out in the future. This is similar to when David HaMelech says to Shaul that he's ready to fight the Goliath, who was like a giant beyond belief. What does David HaMelech say to Shaul? He says, Gam atari gam adadov hikavdecha. You know, I have already a history of being able to fight off a lion and a bear. And he says, the God who saved me from the lion and the bear, he's going to save me here too. Rashi explains, Yodea ani shelo l'chinam nizdamein li'adavar hu, el shalatir ani bali day li'adi ki yotzei bali tshuat Yisrael v'asmoch alav v'atzei ayin shem. Rashi says that what David HaMelech was saying is, I knew it wasn't for naught that Hashem had me fight off these animals, because I would need to have that ability to believe I have, with God's help, the ability to do so, to help Klal Yisrael in the future. That which we experience in our lives, and this is the second take-home message, my friends. Remember the first one? Good. All positivity. Positivity breeds positivity. That was the first take-home message. This is the second. That everything that happens in our lives is part of a larger picture. And when something happens to us, and we think, gee, why am I going through this? Like, what is this all about? Know that there's a reason for this. Know that it's preparing you for something greater, that you have the wherewithal, you have the ability to deal with this similar thing in the future. And dreams have that same function. I'm giving you preparatory time to be ready to prepare yourself. Ruim b'zeh sheish hanagah min ha-shamayim, and the asterisk in 31, Shalafamim adam she'amod lefanav tafkido nisayon v'kadei lazor lo l'chazek lo m'mzilo k'rshbaruch u'matzav dome l'zeh she'uchal achar kach l'ishtamesh b'zeh li'idur v'chizuk. That's the take-home message. That sometimes when a person has a certain job to do, a certain challenge in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the person a similar situation and be mechazek and strengthen the person in that particular situation beforehand to enable them to withstand the particular challenge they're in now. Likewise, came 32, B'Yosef tachli l'chalamot she'gidlo min ha'shamayim l'chazko. The purpose of these dreams was to strengthen him and to be able to prepare himself to withstand a nisayon and to help Klal Yisrael with this nisayon. V'itachein shezod haita double squiggly, kavanato b'safro lamet chalomotav. This is why Yosef HaTzadik told the brothers, lo dia lahem. Why is he telling the brothers again our original question? He knows that they're not happy, but he wants to tell them that I want you to join with me on this mission. Ulashatef otam b'chana ruya, the bowl. That I need you to help me with the preparation, she'avdu b'yachad l'ashlamat shlichutam. We're on a journey. Hashem taught me and is showing me that there's a journey going on. I need your help. I need you to work with me, that I have the wherewithal to be able to be successful. They understood it, that he's lording over them. What he's really saying is, and that's the idea of surrounding him, and he's in the center, I need your support. I need you to encircle me. I need you to support me. I need you to be with me in order for me to succeed. What was this mission? So we know that the two lands at that time that were full of immorality was Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. And that is why the Avos HaKadoshim are tested with their wives being taken and the ability for these great kings not to touch their wives again, to Meisa Avot Sima Labanim, that Klai Yisrael will be protected in this area in Eretz Yisrael. And this was the test of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael, Jewish people, I'm doing outside now, 32, though it's found in 32. Note Sefer Aros, Klai Yisrael are going to go down to Egypt. Egypt was a place where immorality was at its height. Kamas Eretz Yisrael, like the ways of Eretz Yisrael, make sure not to do. The Chumash reminds us a number of times. And we see when Klai Yisrael come out in Parshas Pinchas, they have the name of Hashem, the Yud and the He, added to their names to say that they were able to maintain their high moral standards in Egypt. What enabled Klai Yisrael to come down to Egypt, with the exception of one woman, Shlomi Bat Difri, to be able to withstand this challenge? Because Yosef HaTzadik had to pave the way. And that is, Yosef HaTzadik is being told, you need to go down there and you need to be able to be successful in this mission. But Yosef HaTzadik not going into the temptation of Eshet Potiphar, but being able to stand strong, Yosef HaTzadik was therefore able to allow Klai Yisrael, like a Meisa Avot Siman Labanim, and Yosef was that middle ground between the father and the sons. He was the closest to, like, the middle area, to be able to allow Klai Yisrael to have that ability to withstand that immorality. And this is why Kavanat Yosef is Safro Lachiv Shishtatfu Imo. That's why Yosef told it to them. So you'll help me. You'll be able to give me that strength. But the Shitat Achiv Etautambo Shechashtu Otobar Etzol Shitam Atzmi. But the brothers misunderstood him completely, and they understood it that they wanted to them to bow down to him. And that explains, my friends, why there's no kinna in the first dream, why there's no jealousy. Who's going to be jealous of somebody having to undergo, the way Yosef HaTzadik is explaining this, helping with a challenge? There's no kinna in that area. All they saw it as sinna, that, the lording over, but there was no room for kinna until, again, the second dream where it was clear about the lording over. I would suggest, although Sefer Aros doesn't say this, my gut feeling is that how do the sheaves of wheat allude to the fact that Yosef HaTzadik was going to stand strong? Vine kama alumati, mind is able to stand up straight, that he's able to withstand this temptation. How do you see this temptation of Eshet Potiphar in this dream? So I think we could suggest that when you take a look a little bit later in Chumash, when Yosef HaTzadik's at Potiphar's house, Potiphar gives him everything in his house. You're allowed to have everything. Rak et halechem asher ochel. The one thing he doesn't allow him to have is the lechem, is the bread that he eats. That's a little bit strange. You give him the keys to all the warehouses and you're not giving him bread. So Rashi tells us, Chazal tells us, it's a euphemism for his wife. So therefore we see here that his wife is referred to as lechem, as bread. Bread is made out of wheat. So here Yosef HaTzadik is being told that there's going to be a test with this area of wheat, with this area of bread, which is euphemistic of his wife, of women, and this is the area that Yosef HaTzadik was going to be tested in. Why would the brothers have such sinna? Why do they have such kinna? So again, it's not for their own reasons, but rather l'shem shamayim. And that's at the end of 33. They understood. In Kenu, kolo gamet Yehuda, when there are 11 stars and bowing down, that includes Yehuda. And we know that Yehuda, lo yasra shemim Yehuda, Yehuda has to be the ruler. So here, Nusashu kofer neged Malchus ben David, v'alachahi shacholet Malchus ben David chayamita. That here, he's rebelling against the kingdom of the Davidic kingdom. And anyone who rebels against the Davidic kingdom is worthy of death. So what's really going on here, the sinah, the hatred and the kinah and the jealousy of the brother, is not to Yosef per se, but to the fact that Yosef believes that he's going to be the king, when indeed it is well known that only Yehuda is going to be the king. And that is where the jealousy and the hatred come from, again, on l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. So now, my friends, our final idea, let's move out of the technical into a little bit in the 5 minutes we have left, a little bit broader. Why indeed was Yosef thinking that he was going to be king? Isn't it clear that Yehuda was going to be king? And indeed we find that almost throughout that there are these two almost kingdoms that go parallel. You have the Shaul HaMelech before David HaMelech. You have the Mashiach ben Yosef before the Mashiach ben David. What exactly is the role of Yosef? And why isn't it usurping the role of David? So here, Rabbi Lipiansky, Shlita in Golden Apples, has a wonderful essay. And he raises that question I just raised in 34, and he says, the Gemara, based on a pasuk in 35 in Mishlei, says that whoever goes 7 days without a dream is called Ra, evil. This is puzzling. A person cannot control whether or not he has a dream. And how do we understand this? So he says, to answer this question, we must look closely at the mysterious phenomenon of the end of 35 of sleep and dreams, which transport us from our earthly reality to a different realm. If a person does not experience that journey, but rather remains immobilized in his place, what exactly is he missing that paints him as Ra? A model for the state of immobilization comes from the Egyptians who suffered through the plague of intense darkness. Rashi explains that darkness felt like a heavy, thick cloud that pressed down on everyone. Not only were they unable to see, but they also weren't able to move. The link between darkness and immobilization is another more conceptual explanation. Unless a person has a vision, the bracket in 36, to aspire to greater heights, his nature is to stick to a status quo. Even biologically, this phenomenon known as homeostasis, whereby the body tends to preserve its current state. In all aspects of life, change meets with resistance. It is only when a person can see something of interest that lies beyond his current location that he may be moved to get up and go there. And that's why during the plague of darkness, the Egyptians couldn't see anything, and consequently, they wouldn't, couldn't get up or go anywhere. Only when there's light can a person see the goal in the distance and forge ahead to get there. This is certainly true in Gashmias, and in spiritual realm, it's also true. In Ruchnias, everything lies beyond a person's horizon. Every person lives in his own state of Yiddishkeit with little awareness of what lies beyond. Does he believe that there are Madregos above his own? Of course he does. But is he driven to go there? No, because his vision doesn't encompass that which is beyond his level in life, his Madrega. However, if the spark of inspiration flickers in the person, he can momentarily behold a vision of his greater self. If a hurt person hears a shmooze that makes him feel inspired in that moment, he can visualize being a greater person. You read Rabbi Tzimachlis' book about Rabbi Tzimachlis. You suddenly say, wow, I can do chesed. Wow, I can be greater than myself. Rabbi Tzikanyevsky, wow, I can be nice to all people without being judgmental. The person may be taken by this vision. He actually does have the motivation and power to get there. However, the neshama scope of vision is limited because the neshama is welded to the earthly bound body, which prefers to stay put. This is the state of affairs as long as we are awake. That changes when we fall asleep and the neshama is set free. It is the opportunity each night to catch a glimpse of a world beyond. Without enhanced vision, the person can expand his realm of possibility, and then he can strive for that vision. This is the great purpose of dreams. And that's why in 38, Yosef HaTzadik is referred to as the only male. It's beautiful in form. What is this about? He looked like, similar to Yaakov Avinu, who looked like Adam HaRishon. It's not just his physical beauty. He was representation of spiritual beauty. He was a representation of what every leader needs to be, of being able to inspire people to move forward. A leader cannot raise people's level of ruchnius by simply pushing them to a predetermined level. At 39 in the two squiggly, but if a leader shows someone a picture of a life to which he can and does aspire, then the leader can coax him to get there. Even a person needs to be pushed a bit sometimes, so he'll reach that level. The initial step toward becoming something greater is to see an image of it and to like that view. And now, my friends, we understand the role of Yosef HaTzadik. This inspirational role belongs to Yosef and Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef engendered the first Malchus via Shaul, although Shaul's kingship was short-lived. Once he established the paradigm, the Malchus state David couldn't take over. The job of Mashiach ben Yosef is to arouse the recognition of what we are and can be. Once we've been properly aroused to the concept of redemption, Mashiach ben David can take over. And that is why Yosef is referred to as Nazir Echav, literally the peak. He is the Tzadik Gamor, Shaul, Mishichmo Mala. When they see the beauty of a pristine Selim Lakin, they want to wash away their sins, become pristine, similarly pristine. That is the role of Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the role of Yosef Tzadik. Once you have that vision, then Mashiach ben David can be able to bring you, to teach, prod, and motivate them to reach that level. The dreams of Yosef was in order to be able to tell the brothers, you need to dream high, you need to look at aspirations, you need to be able to see yourself as the sun, the moon, and the stars, you need to reach to the high realm. He wasn't trying to take over kingship, he was trying to bring them to a level that then David HaMelech could lead them on a much higher level. However, the dream is what sets all this in motion. A person is obligated to dream at least once in 7 days, for without a dream, he cannot move forward. 7 days represents a complete cycle, and if a person has not dreamt somewhere in that cycle, there indeed is something they need to fix. To dream is to perceive that there's something beyond the person's current station, and that is the first step in spiritual growth. And to conclude, the Talei Chaim in 43 speaks about that when we have dreams, whether it's a dream of a shade, the dream of our thoughts, whatever it may be, enable ourselves to use those dreams to move us forward. Because dreams are an insight into who we are. They are a tat moda. We all day long, we are so busy, we don't allow our neshama to breathe. We don't allow ourselves to aspire to greatness. When we let go of our body and we allow our neshama to enter into the higher realms, it's able to pull down into us visions of greatness, thoughts of how we can move forward. And that's the lesson that we learned from Yosef HaTzadik. A person needs to dream. A person needs to have a vision, whether it's a technical dream at night or a vision of who you want to be. It's about not staying complacent. It's not being in the same place. The Mashiach ben Yosef, the vision of Yosef, the dream. Yosef is a Bala Chalomot. He's the dreamer. Because his dreams are dreamer determination to get each and every one of us to move beyond our small state of inability to move ourselves, our frozen state of life, afraid of what the next step may be and not even aware, frozen in that darkness of what the next step should be. Allow yourself to learn from Yosef HaTzadik, Hosafa, to continue to move forward, to dream. And then you'll be able to have the Yehuda part of you to take that leadership role and be able to take those dreams and bring them to fruition.